Even if it's getting harder to find, election misinformation is still spreading. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood. Lies and unfounded allegations about the U.S. election continue to circulate. And though we talk about Facebook and Twitter a lot, critics say YouTube hasn't been doing nearly enough to prevent the sharing of videos making false or misleading claims. 71% of Americans say they use the website, according to Pew Research, and over a quarter of U.S. adults get news from it. All this is a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. Rebecca Heilweil is a reporter for Vox's Open Sourced project.
YouTube's stance with some of the videos that just proclaim Trump won is that, you know, the election already happened. It's not technically interfering in the democratic process anymore. But of course, other people would disagree with that characterization and say it's promoting a lot of doubt in the electoral integrity. So a lot of what average people would probably call election misinformation is certainly not being removed from YouTube. There's a lot of frustration that this platform has played a really large role in just sowing doubt and creating confusion.
Another concern is that even though YouTube may be making it harder for people to find that content, that doesn't stop people from sharing direct links on other platforms. And that's one way this content sort of slips through the cracks.
That's exactly right. And in one sense, YouTube is saying that we are taking borderline videos and taking them away from our search results. But none of these platforms exist in a vacuum, and they really aren't coordinated in the most optimized way to make sure that it's not jumping from one place to another.
One of YouTube's other strategies has been to demonetize videos, so not allowing ads on misinformation. How effective has that been?
A lot of, you know, the videos that I saw were not from channels that are on YouTube to make a lot of money. They're just random videos that sort of allege voter fraud in some capacity, and they amass views. So that strategy might work for a channel that really needs YouTube to survive. But for someone who's just trying to add to the confusion, it's not clear like that move would really be particularly helpful.
It seems like YouTube has escaped a lot of the pressure that Facebook and Twitter have been under, and they have responded by slapping labels on content or removing it. Why do you think YouTube has gotten kind of a pass?
Facebook was the tech story in the aftermath of the 2016 election, and so much of what we've discussed regarding tech and politics has centered around Facebook. It's given researchers and journalists the data tool that makes it easier to get a peek into what's getting attention on its own platform. And I don't think YouTube has really been pressured to do the same, which means that you can't sort of look at it and raise attention about things that are sort of going viral in the same way.
And there is maybe another test coming for these social media platforms with the possibility of a coronavirus vaccine and misinformation related to that. Do you expect anything different when it comes to preventing vaccine misinformation?
So I think something that's really interesting is YouTube said it will ban COVID-19 vaccine misinformation. So it's actually said you can't post something that's going to contradict the World Health Organization or sort of local health authorities about what the nature of a COVID-19 vaccine, when and if one does arrive. Obviously, there's a lot of attention on that now because of the announcement from Pfizer. But, you know, beyond that rule, there are other signs that YouTube is going to take a similar approach and to the election and to other topics that get a lot of attention like this. So, you know, pushing authoritative content, trying to rely on officials to sort of divert people to what they're saying, and pushing fact checks and things like that.
Rebecca Heilweil is a reporter for Vox. YouTube says the most popular videos about the election and its search results are from, quote, authoritative news organizations, though it won't say who qualifies as authoritative. And now for some related links. For its part, Twitter said Thursday it labeled 300,000 election-related tweets as misleading. That's about 0.2% of total tweets about the election. The The move was part of a broader effort to slow the spread of misinformation. The company said that making users take an extra step before retweeting resulted in more friction and less sharing overall. The change will stick around for now. Twitter said, though, it will bring back recommendations for tweets users might be interested in by people they don't follow, saying that taking away that service did not significantly cut down on misinformation. Back to YouTube, you can check out Rebecca Heilweil's reporting on the company and the, quote, slew of content stirring doubt in the electoral process. From November 3rd to 5th, she writes, videos on political channels with keywords related to election fraud were viewed nearly 100 million times in 2 days. We've got a link at marketplacetech.org. And while you're there, you can take a look at that Pew study I mentioned at the top, showing the powerful role YouTube plays as a news site for many Americans. Viewers tend to be younger, more diverse, and more male than U.S. adults overall. About 3/4 said they expect the news they view on the site to be largely accurate. That's a lot more faith than people tend to have in news they see on social media generally. Finally, fans of YouTube might be disappointed in other news this week that the company's end-of-year retrospective known as Rewind will not happen this year. For the past decade, YouTube has released a video celebrating the big moments and trends of the year gone by and paying tribute to its creators. But 2020 has been different, the company said in a statement, and it just didn't feel right. And maybe it's for the best. The 2018 Rewind was the most disliked video in YouTube history. I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.